Hi, welcome to this week's episode of Tech Takeaways. I'm your host, Jason Fitzgerald, and I'm joined, as ever, by my dynamic co-host, Paul Stringfellow.
Hey, you again.
And saying welcome back to Kirk Ryan as well.
Glad
welcome
to be back.
Hey, you again.
Good. Yeah. So the last week's episode was around building a cloud-native business, and we wanted to just explore that a little bit more because I think there was a little bit around kind of building a team around that, which is an absolute key part, and we felt that that was an episode in itself, didn't we? So
I think we talked, didn't we, about some of the reasons you might want to do this and some of the kind of high level business considerations you might have. You know, we talked about that idea of understanding why you're doing this as a business, making sure your business process supported it, and obviously some of the decisions you were making as a cloud native startup as well. But yeah, we wanted to kind of delve a little bit more into maybe some of your tips and advice, maybe particularly for those who have existing businesses who are looking to adopt the cloud. You know, and I appreciate that, you know, a lot of your experience was about doing this as a startup, but obviously you've had that experience as well. So what are some of the tips for getting that team right internally, getting those processes right, and then maybe even for things like how do you find the right partners to work with, and what kind of skills are you looking for?
Yeah, and I think a great place to start would be, what do you mean by team, right? Because in
what
the
do you mean by team? Good question. We're asking a question. What do you mean?
The first sort of thing that comes to mind is, right, who do I have working for me, or who are the sort of people that I'm going to hire over the next 3, 6, 9 months? So as you think about that team and the capabilities there, you've got to look at their skill sets in terms of, well, do they have architect knowledge? Do they have application knowledge? Can application knowledge be supported in the cloud providers that we either have existing relationships with or are looking to use as well? You know, there's no point if you've got, for example, a history of a lot of .NET and Microsoft stuff, saying we're going to just shove that in another cloud provider without really thinking about the implications of that, right? From the next part, a team really is actually, team starts to take on another meaning in a startup, because that could be the partners that you're working with, in terms of they have skilled people available, they have experience, and the benefit, having worked on, you know, a vendor side of the fence, is you can really draw knowledge from the people that they have. They're exposed to 20, 30 different organizations that are all in the same place. Some have solved this problem before you. So you can draw from that knowledge and the learning there without having to make the same mistakes. Now, I always think it's really important to learn from other people's mistakes before you go and do the same one.
That's right.
So that was a key thing for us as well, navigating, well, who is out there? Are we too small for them? How do they do business? Does it suit our commercial model of, for example, you may be usage-based and you don't quite know where your baseline demand is yet. So you do feel a bit restricted sometimes because you can't commit XK per month because you don't know if that's even coming. From that perspective, so looking at what sort of, you know, partners are out there, and the ones that we went on to spend significant amounts of money with almost gave you that first sort of pre-sales, but almost PS plus element of, hey, listen, we'll introduce you to the engineers and things. And they did it because they all said we'll grow with you, knowing full well that they'd help get you to the sustainability.
You made a good point in the last episode, actually, about, you know, it got me thinking while you were talking about selecting those partners who we used to kind of work in with organizations like yours. So in that startup piece, because you talked last week about you'd had an issue where you'd had potential of a massive overspend because actually you'd had a bit of a rogue process that was running. Now you'd identified that, but actually it must have made a huge difference to have a partner who understood that and then said, that's all right, we'll just write that off this time. Don't do it again, but we'll just write it off this time.
Yes, it was a huge difference because in that instance, the partner was the hyperscaler themselves, but the team within the hyperscaler as well, because I think a lot of people's experiences may be different of the same hyperscaler, the name, but it will come down to relationships. It will come down to, do you know the product manager there? Have they give you the time of day? So I was very fortunate in the way that I'd built the relationships because I'd ran some of the user groups for them. So I knew who the product managers were. And it was a case of a phone call saying, we had a bit of a runaway process here. Can you help us out? Because we've just spent the entire annual budget in 2 days and this is somewhat a problem for us.
Yeah, I mean, with cloud, it can be very easy to spend considerable sums quickly, I think.
There's advantages of, you know, where I mentioned in the last episode, cloud's fantastic at unpredictable.
Yeah.
And it's got potentially unlimited scalability.
Absolutely,
but
yeah.
It comes at a cost.
Yeah. No, it's interesting that that you talk about kind of the wider community. Not when you talk about the team, you're not just talking about the internal direct employees. You're talking about, well, I'm going to class my supplier as a team member. You know, they're part of that team because it's all about delivery, as well as internal employees, as well as maybe wider community. You know, in Liverpool, we've got a bit of a tech community.
Yeah.
You know, what lessons can we learn from them that means that we don't have to, you know, make those same mistakes again?
Yeah.
And I think it's around how do we effectively draw that knowledge from that community? You know, I've always quite enjoyed going to, you know, technology events and kind of chatting to people. But occasionally you hear like a nugget of information. You think, I really need to go and write that down now.
Yeah.
To so that information was presented in little bite-sized chunks.
Absolutely.
Just for you to
on
enjoy.
A podcast.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it.
And you know, we've all been to the major industry events, right? So you'd say, you know, you can build up your calendar of, right, this is my session calendar, these are the ones I'm going to. But actually the value is that 5 minutes at the end, you get to grab them and ask that very specific question.
Yeah.
And I'd say the most successful partners give you that without you having to wait once a year to get the person. They're at the end of the line. You can get to them. You can ask those sort of questions of, that gives me now the confidence to go all in with this for the next 12, 18 months.
I mean, you mentioned there actually about kind of going to events and getting to know the team that you might be working with. So have you got any tips for people who, because that feels like, you know, there's quite a lot to that, you know, and I think you've learned probably quite a lot doing that. So is there any tips you can share with people about how they go about building that? What's the best way to try and engage and build some of those relationships?
I mean, I could give a great example of when I was looking for, for example, a particular project of a mapping provider. Everyone, when I say map, you're probably thinking Google. You know, but I would say when you're starting out, are you too small for Google? Are you really going to get a product manager on the line to ask what might be a stupid question? So when I went through, I had relationships with founders of competitors to Google who would give you the entire day. They give you an hour of the day to say, what are you trying to do? What's your vision? Awesome, we will partner with you. We will grow with you. We won't even charge you until you reach this level. And that's the things they were ready to say, look, we want to, we were a startup once. And that culture is still embedded in those companies. So that's sort of one thing that I wouldn't say we were looking for. It's something we found and then that became our norm. We're like, wow, this is great because we can pick up the phone, we can ask these questions, and we're not having to pay 10 grand a month retainer or something just for the, you know, asking something that should have been in the docs, potentially. Yeah. And I think that for me is that access to ask questions, because that's usually what stops the productivity, is because you've just hit a blocker and you might not even be thinking about something the right way.
Just being to think about it, this might be a bit of an unfair question for you because obviously your experience of doing that from as a founder, but obviously you've worked in corporates. You know, that because you're talking there about that kind of whole startup mentality of you as a company and the people that you work with, is that more difficult in an organization that is already very established, or should they be looking at, you know, if somebody's listening to this and going, well, we've got some cloud projects, should they be trying to drive that kind of startup culture within an existing organization?
Yeah, I think open and transparent communication is critical for any organization, regardless of your maturity. If you've been around 50 years, 20 years, 25, it should be open and transparent, and it's not in every company. Yet the people I've spoken to in some of the more even established companies, and I've said, if you had a magic wand, what would you change tomorrow? All of it has been, I would want to see more of the product manager. I would like to have my customer talk more to the teams that are creating things. And it is just a communication piece. And it's amazing how far that can really help customers either start to consume more or build out and fix their business problem because they have open access to the right people at the right time.
And I guess if you're a mature or established company, particularly if you're one of a size, that actually is potentially easier to do than it was as a startup with kind of no credibility, and we've just got this idea. So, you know, I mean, it wasn't really something I'd thought about in terms of, you know, something that you should be looking to do as a business in, you know, building that kind of looking at how do I build those relationships? How do I build those relationships? Not with the provider per se in as a broad provider, but actually the thing that I need, go and find that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one thing that I've seen with kind of startups is that they can be quite guarded. You know, I've got this thing that I'm working on and I'm not going to show anyone else until it's finished and it's perfect. And in reality, it's never going to be perfect or probably finished, you know, because some software or anything really is. So I think that, what I'm hearing is, the communication's absolutely vital, you know, share what you've got kind of thing.
Yeah.
Be willing to share your mistakes.
That might come down to experience as well and fear. So having raised funding and been with VCs, you know, they tell you these stories of founders selling the idea, but they want somebody to sign an NDA just to tell you what the idea is. And that's a red flag, because an idea, even the greatest idea in the world, is still an idea. You need a team. You need to execute and really get that. And that goes back to the point of, well, do you have the right team, partners, support, distribution, marketing? You know, and as a technical founder for me, these are all new skills I had to learn that are outside the, can we build the code, run it, maintain it, make it super fast, make it super cheap and scale? That's great. But now you've got a fantastic engine, but nobody knows about it. Do you know how to message that in the most human way possible of, hey, look, this thing could save your life or your riders' lives and things. So there's a lot of different entries you have to think about when you think about the team in terms of technical, but then it gets even bigger when you look out of that of, okay, how do we give ourselves financial runway? How do we get money to build the team? How do we move forward with telling the world about what we do? How are our customers going to consume this technology? How do we keep it safe? How do we make sure our IP doesn't get leaked? But to your point there, founders, it keeps you awake at night thinking, I've just developed a model that nobody else has, and I have to put that at the edge. What if someone steals that? How would I even know?
Yeah.
And I guess this is true as well for an established business. You know, this is not just a startup. If you're an established business and you are building, you know, we kind of talked last week, didn't we, or last episode about, very briefly, we talked about kind of security and risk. But, you know, you are taking these things that traditionally you would have put in a data center behind your firewalls within your perimeter, but we're putting them in the cloud. We're putting them in the cloud because it scales and it gives a geographic reach and all of those things. Yeah. But they're also some of the risks. Is there any advice you could give in terms of actually the things you should think around security, the things you should think around potential risk if you're going to start to build as an established business or a startup, you're going to start to put all of your IP, your crown jewels inside of a public cloud?
Yeah, I mean, you have to take the mentality of the opposite of the founder that we just said there. So I said it was a good thing to be open and transparent, but when it comes to security, it's a good thing to trust nobody.
Yeah.
Zero trust, effectively, right?
Yeah.
So, and that comes to your internal teams because...
Feels like an episode, Jace.
Absolutely, it's an episode.
And what I mean by that is, like, even, for example, when you're building, like, your teams, you think, right, okay, your founder's probably got admin rights to absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And then you think, okay, well, if I get hit by a bus, I need to give someone else admin rights to absolutely everything. So you've now got two people that have got God mode, effectively, to everything on the estate. As you mature and you start to understand, okay, I'm now doing business with international clients, that doesn't fit anymore. You can't have the golden keys to everything. Should you be able to, and you've probably heard the horror stories where founders have been going in looking at images and things of who's on their platform, they shouldn't even have that access. So you have to have that zero trust mentality, and you have to trust in your team to go, okay, that's different from my responsibility. They're responsible for making sure that only users can see their own images and our teams can't, regardless if they're administrators or not, and starting to do that separation of responsibilities within the cloud.
Yeah, I think security is contextual as well.
Yeah.
So depending on the situation might change who gets access to what.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's temporary. You have someone that's working on something, they've come in as a contractor.
Yeah.
You need to give them very sophisticated rights. You know, how do you manage that? Make sure they're not taking things they shouldn't be. You know, it's a whole episode in itself, to be honest.
Yeah.
But there is also an element of trust and just that relaxation of that fear of somebody's going to take my idea. There's a lot more. There are ideas are plenty and free, but actually executing against an idea and doing it well, that's where a business is born.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I think that's a great episode.
I mean, it's, you know, there's so much to this, and I think it's really interesting that the kind of, you know, the comparison, similarities actually between as a traditional established business and as a startup, because actually cloud for most of us is a new thing. You know, we're almost behaving like startups regardless. So I think, you know, loads of really fascinating stuff there. So thanks a lot. And it's been really invaluable.
Nice one. So we hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you've not yet subscribed, you can hit the button below. If you're watching on YouTube, just below down here somewhere, hit that button. Don't miss any future episodes, or we're available everywhere else where you might find any podcasts.